I'm John Betts with my friend Gordon Chang, and we're very pleased to be joined by Steve Yates, chair of the America First Policy Institute's China Policy Initiatives. Steve, a photograph appearing all around the world, but especially in the Washington Post and Foreign Affairs, shows Henry Kissinger, God bless him, at more than 100 years old, sitting in a chair on a stage. And the other correspondent is Xi Jinping, the president for life, we believe, the general secretary for life, we believe, the Chinese Communist Party. I'm struck about the 30 years difference in their age. Mr. Xi Jinping, in 1969, when Henry Kissinger was the newly named national security advisor for Richard Nixon as they stepped into the White House, we have reason to believe that Xi Jinping was living in a cave house somewhere in rural China, having been defamed and denounced by the Red Guard, driven from his home for many years, struggling, as all those young people did, to survive Mao's vicious campaign called the Cultural Revolution. Nowhere in that photograph is the irony projected, but I can guess that of the 1 billion plus people in China, several hundred million know exactly what the story is and how discordant this photograph is. I believe that Henry Kissinger does as well. What do you see in this photograph, Steve? Xi Jinping with his happy smile.
Well, there are a couple of things going on, I think, simultaneously. For sure, that memory that you have recounted, a very important one, one that is immediately identified with by many, many Chinese people, is that he was in many ways born out of one of the most extreme disasters that were man-made inside the People's Republic of China, leaving the deepest of impressions upon him that political survival is the most important thing in his existence. Politics put him where he was then, and if anything defines the Xi Jinping rise and experience, it is political survival above all else. And so I think there's a deep identity that comes out of that. When he turns to Dr. Kissinger and refers to him as an old friend of China, that is on one hand a form of deference and collegiality. It's welcoming, et cetera, et cetera. But in the Communist Party context, being a friend of China, in all intents and purposes, mean you are here to tell our truth back to the Americans and the world. In other words, you're carrying our water, our message, and you're here to help fix your side so they can deal with us better. And I fear that that, in especially the latter decades of Dr. Kissinger's comings and goings to China, is exactly what has been asked of him.
Gordon, you have a question for Steve.
Steve, it's somewhat ironic that Xi Jinping is now sending China's youths down to the rural areas, just as he was sent down during the Cultural Revolution. And I get the sense that Xi Jinping actually thought the Cultural Revolution was a good thing, although he did suffer in it. Just apart from Kissinger for a moment, what do you think Xi Jinping actually took away from those that decade of madness in China?
Well, I think there is a certain simplicity. A lot of survivors of prison experiences and other kinds of labor reform experiences come to. I mean, basically, you don't have the liberty, and it's not necessary at all in your existence to focus on anything other than what you're told to do. So there's sort of submission to the authority, the party. You see some value in hard work because that's, after all you're allowed to do. That is clarifying in some ways, can be refining. It is a form of slavery, which is not a pleasant experience, but it was one that she and others were allowed to escape from, grow out of, as China's politics changed eventually. So I do think that he sees it somewhat as a refiner's fire. The question is, what exactly was refined in him going through it? And I think that there's a certain base ruthlessness and drive to survive and to come out on top, the importance of factionalism and watching out for what others are doing and saying in order to protect yourself and your own, I think is really what sprung out of that experience for him. And so in somewhat of a dark way, he probably sees this as helping another generation of people who will rise like him.
All reactionaries are paper tackers. Red Guard. Political power grows out of a barrel of a gun. Red Guard, Mao, Red Book. Today, Steve, the same denial of reason from a statement in the economic recovery from Beijing. Beijing says the failure of the Chinese economy to respond, the well-reported failure of China's miracle to continue, is instead, quote, a process of wave-like development and tortuous progress. What are they talking about, Steve?
Well, the tortuous progress, what I think is most curious, that's not an appetizing thing. And it's not one we've grown to expect from the sort of whitewash kind of language that comes typically from China's gatherings and leadership statements. So usually they just go the full nine yards and tell everyone we're doing very well when everyone can see and feel and hear that that is not the case. Clearly, the COVID lockdown experience in China has had an effect. There's a population shrinkage that is going on now that is beginning to have an effect. And China's growth of the past is now a memory. It's not today or the future. And they have very difficult politics to navigate going through. Lower growth to negative growth experience in China with so many things out there, whether it's property that is not productive and creates a bubble, that's questionable whether the younger generation is going to be more productive than the previous generation. They've been raised under very different circumstances. And without respect for other ethnicities and openness to migration into China, it's very difficult to see they can stay the manufacturing platform of the world. So I think this is a beginning of trying to push people back into politics, which is a form of mind control that he lived through in the Cultural Revolution. And perhaps he thinks that this kind of demagoguery and ideology is what will see them through turbulence at home.
Gordon, we have a couple of minutes for a question.
Steve, do you think that the Biden administration sent Kissinger, or do you think that Beijing asked Kissinger to come because they felt that they didn't have other means to influence Washington? Which of the two do you think is more probable?
The more likely is Beijing welcoming Kissinger, whether Kissinger volunteered for the duty or Beijing reached out to ask him to do it. One of the searing experiences I had was in the transition from Clinton to Bush. There was a lot of fear about the swagger of the governor of Texas becoming president of the United States. And there were people like Vice President Cheney and some of his crazy advisors like me that the people in Beijing knew of and were a little unsettled that these folks might begin to build a different kind of China policy. I think that what Beijing sees coming out of broader discourse in Washington, not necessarily the Biden White House, is concerning to them because Americans are seeing a different face of China and have been basically attacked by China with COVID, fentanyl, and unfair trade, et cetera. They're concerned and they want to go back to their old friend to smooth these see. So I strongly suspect that it was Henry offering his services or it was Beijing asking him. I don't think the Biden administration wanted that because it kind of embarrassed and pushed to the side the series of high ranking officials they were sending already, most particularly John Kerry, who does not take well to political slights.
Steve, right now, just 30 seconds left, past the Kissinger visit, does she have a plan or is he scrambling? Your measure, 30 seconds.
My sense is that she does have a plan, that it is political warfare first, economic warfare second, and he will use the military to coerce the near abroad and to try to keep Americans on their toes. I think he's concerned about what he sees in his country, and these other areas help fan nationalism, which will be key to his survival.
Steve Yates, chair of the America First Policy Institute's China Policy Initiative, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.